We're going to read Luke chapter 5. So we've been continuing through the book of Luke together, and we're up to chapter 5, verses 12 through to 16. Chapter 5, verses 12 through to 16. And we're going to read from there. It says, and it happened when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Well, in Poland last year, 2018, the year was declared to be the year of Irina Sendler, the picture you've got there on your PowerPoint. So they were remembering Irina 10 years after she had died because of the number of lives that she had saved during the Second World War. Okay, in the Second World War, 380,000 Jews had been imprisoned in Warsaw, Poland, and 5,000 were dying every month. And so Irina Sendler, who was a nurse, decided that she was going to do something about it. And what she did was she gained access to a Jewish ghetto by volunteering to check for diseases. And then once she was in, she gained permission from the parents to smuggle their children out in potato sacks and all sorts of different kinds of things, to actually smuggle their children out and then arrange for those children to be cared outside. And in total, she saved some 2,500 children's lives. There's a movie about her, apparently. I haven't yet seen it. Anybody seen it? There is a movie about it, yeah. But it's a remarkable story. And it's a remarkable story that was driven by compassion. It was compassion that drove Irina Sendler to risk her life in that way. She felt for these children. She felt for them. She had compassion. Friends, in the brokenness of our world, there is a great need, is there not, for compassion? We live in a world that is so wounded in so many different ways. There's so much hurt and pain. And perhaps you yourself feel that. Perhaps you yourself feel your need for compassion. Whatever the circumstances are in your life, there's a kind of woundedness or brokenness which you're feeling. There's a lot of pain in our world. And often we don't know how to traverse it, do we? Life can be just really hard. And one of the things that we do need is compassion, someone who sees our condition and cares. And that is what we have here in this passage tonight. Okay, tonight we're looking at those verses we read earlier, Luke 5, 12 to 16. And here in this story, we've got a man in a really painful, desperate condition, and Jesus sees and shows compassion. And perhaps as we look into this passage, we can be encouraged ourselves to see in Jesus someone in whom we are able to find that same compassion. And so we move then into the story, and we see here to begin with the leper's need. The leper's need. Jesus in the story meets a leper. It says in verse 12 that a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. Okay, notice here that the man was full of leprosy. Full. It's a serious case. Now, the word leprosy in the Bible is used of a bunch of different skin conditions, with sores and scabs and white spots and so on. It probably includes the disease that today we call Hansen's disease. And back then, it would seem that many of these leprous conditions, at least back then, were incurable. You didn't want leprosy. Okay, if I can talk, for example, about the form of leprosy that we call Hansen's disease. In Hansen's disease, the nervous system of the individual would be attacked, and the person would experience disfigurement of the skin and bones. They would experience the twisting of limbs. They would experience facial defects. And then, worst of all, people would experience nerve damage, which would mean that, you know, they might step on hot coal or something sharp or whatever and not even realise that it's happened. And so it was just this dreadful thing to have. But, you know, what made leprosy even worse was that in addition to the physical problem, it was socially also very isolating. If you had leprosy in Israel in biblical times, what that meant was that you had to be isolated from the rest of society. You had to live outside of the city. And in addition to that, wherever you went, you had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," wherever you went, so that people realised that you were a leper and so they stayed away from you. And of course, hygienically, that was sensible. We had a church camp not that long ago and Callum was sick and so we locked him in a room. Okay, we would do that even today. But you can imagine how hard it was for the leper. Okay, back then, if you saw someone with leprosy, you wanted to stay away. You wanted to stay away. That's how people viewed leprosy. And so as Jesus crosses paths with this leper, he's crossing paths with someone in great need. Now, friends, each one of you here today has needs, I'm sure. Maybe you might not compare your needs to the needs of this leper, but each one of us here today is needy in one way or another, are we not? We are living in a hurting world, in a broken world, and we experience the pain and the hardship of this world. And while we might not identify exactly with all of the details of this leper's story, yet that overall sense of brokenness, we have touched that. Maybe it is something that you're feeling right now. What you've got here is the leper's need. And so then, how did this leper respond to that need? What the leper did is he approached Jesus. We read in verse 13, "And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" The leper approached Jesus. Now, this was quite something because Jesus is still in a city. We are told that in verse 12, he hasn't gone out of town. And so the leper here obviously has heard that Jesus is in town and he's heard that Jesus can do these amazing things. And so even though lepers aren't meant to go into towns, he says to himself, "Blow it, I've got to get to Jesus." And he finds where Jesus is and he goes up to him. Okay, later on in Luke 17, we read about 10 lepers who talk with Jesus. But we're told there that they stood afar off and they lifted up their voices to talk to Jesus, calling out to him from a distance. But this guy, no distance for him. I'm going in. And he makes this really, really bold approach. And he falls down before Jesus. And he kneels to him as if to a king. And we're told that he implores him, in other words, begs him, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. See, this guy's convinced. Jesus is able to help. And so nothing's going to stop him from approaching Jesus. It's the approach of the leper. And what we're meant to see in this is the approach of faith. So often in the Gospels, Jesus commends needy people who come to him because they have come to him in faith. This man comes believing that if Jesus is willing, he can make him clean. And friends, what the Lord is encouraging us here to do in all of our problems and in all of our weaknesses is to be ready to bring them to the Lord Jesus. He's encouraging us to be ready to take our frailties and our needs to the Lord and to see in the Lord someone who really is able to help. Now, I know that this side of eternity, even for the Christian, many of our problems stay unresolved. Following Christ does not mean, it does not bring with it a bed of roses, this side of eternity. And yet following Christ does bring with it the promise that the Lord will be our helper, that he's not going to leave us or forsake us, that he will be to us what we need through our times of hardship, that he'll be a friend to us and a source of peace to us and comfort. But through the Lord, we're able to find help in our time of need. And so we can approach Jesus, the Son of God, in our time of need, looking to him for help. This is the leper's approach. And then we shift our focus now from the leper, and we think especially about Jesus. And what we notice here is that Jesus had compassion. How does Jesus respond when the leper approaches him? What's his reaction? Well, his reaction to the leper is that he furrows his brows and he says, what are you doing in here? You're a leper. You're meant to be outside of town. I did not hear you cry, unclean, unclean. Outside you go. It's not his reaction, is it? We're told his reaction there in verse 13. It says, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus here responds with compassion. In fact, it's worth knowing that in the Gospel of Mark, where he also tells this story, that Mark says this absolutely explicitly. He writes, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. He was moved with compassion. See, the leper had believed that Jesus is able to help, but he was a bit worried that maybe Jesus wasn't willing to help. But Jesus was willing and he had compassion and he helped. Now, that idea of compassion in the original, it's a very descriptive word. It's the idea of being moved in your entrails, okay, moved in your inner being. And that's what Jesus experienced as he saw the plight of the leper. His heart just goes out to him. He has compassion. And don't you need to know that? I mean, in the muck of life, don't you need to know that there is one who cares, that you're able to go to him, to turn to him, to find compassion in him? Jesus is like that. He cares for people like us in all of our frailty and in all of our brokenness. This is the character of this one that you are able to turn to in Jesus Christ. His compassion. And we see this compassion most clearly when we consider his touch. In verse 13, we're told that Jesus touches the leper and says, "I am willing, be cleansed." He touches the leper. Now, what's going on here? Why is this so startling? Well, the reason why it's startling is because Jesus is touching a leper, right? He's touching a leper. I mean, you just didn't do that socially. Maybe hygienically, it wasn't what you do, but Jesus touches him. This is compassion. But you know, there's more going on here, because you see, what would have very much startled any Jew looking on is the fact that Jesus, by touching the leper, is actually choosing to become unclean himself. Okay, there were certain ceremonies which the Jews kept. Ceremonies which acted as pictures of our relationship with God. And the disease of leprosy was very much part of that system of pictures. Leprosy, as we've seen, okay, kept you away from others, didn't it? It kept you away from the people of God. You had to live outside of the city. And in one sense, there was a sense in which it kept you away from even God himself, because by living outside of the city, you couldn't go to the temple. And so leprosy was this really horrible disease. And this was used as a picture. Okay, the idea was that it's all a bit like sin. Sin causes separation, doesn't it? Often when we do the wrong thing, okay, it causes problems with others. And in the end, what it does is it keeps us away from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, we are told, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." Our sins separate us from God. They're like a disease, which means that he cannot come near us. That is how holy and pure our God is. It puts us in this horrible situation where we're kept away from God himself. We're like lepers before God. It's this really serious situation. And so the ceremony was that if you were had leprosy, you were pronounced to be unclean. And that was a really hard thing. Because, you know, the ritual was that once you had been pronounced unclean, if anyone else touched you, they themselves would also become unclean. It was meant to be a picture of how sin spreads so easily. Okay, if one person gets mad at someone else, and they get mad back, and it just spreads and spreads and spreads. Sin spreads so easily. And so if you touched someone that was unclean, then you yourself became unclean. And so what is surprising here in verse 13? What is startling about Jesus' compassion is that as Jesus reaches out to heal the man, as Jesus reaches out to cleanse him, which is the way that he describes it, as he does so, he himself takes on the man's uncleanness. See, the leper becomes clean through Jesus becoming unclean. Can you see that? Jesus, in the act of cleansing the leper, which is the way that he describes it, himself becomes unclean. And it's a picture, isn't it? It's a picture of that greatest cleansing that was going to take place, that greatest act of compassion that Jesus was going to carry out. Jesus on the cross was going to become unclean in order to cleanse the sinner from their sin. He would take the uncleanness of the sinner, the defilement of the sinner, the punishment of the sinner, so that the sinner could be clean in God's sight and not be punished. The sinner is cleansed, but only because Jesus in his place is willing to become unclean for him. And that's compassion, isn't it? To love like that is compassion. And so as we see Jesus touch the leper in order to heal him, we are meant to look beyond the mere physical condition of the man. See, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that there wasn't a great act of compassion in Jesus healing this man. There was. But what it's pointing forward to is an even greater act of compassion. Jesus healing of sinners from their sin. And what we should see is that whatever troubles we have in this life, and Jesus does care about our troubles, but whatever troubles we have, it is possible for you to know that your greatest trouble has been dealt with. Okay, if you approach Christ, if you put your faith in him to heal you from your sin, because of what Jesus has done at the cross, then he will heal you, he will cleanse you, so that you are seen as pure and right in the sight of God, and so that you can be near to God and have him near to you through all of the ups and downs of life. You don't have to be separated from God. You don't have to be isolated from God. You don't have to be kept away from him. Your sin and your guilt can be dealt with so that you can be near to God. And it's the greatest thing that you can have. You know, Jesus was willing to heal people from their physical sickness while he was here. That's true. But there was a greater compassion than that because he kept his eye on the greater problem. So that even though we may go through sickness and all sorts of problems in this life, yet if we have faith in him, we can know that our sins have been forgiven and that we have God with us by our side in this life and safely leading us into all of the blessings of the next life. What a compassionate thing it is that God has done for us in Jesus Christ.